This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
My theme for today is equip the people. But before I start on that, I just want to remind you that whatever state you're in right now, however you feel about yourself, about your life, whatever's going on, I want you to know that God loves you, whether you're a follower of Jesus or whether you're not, whether you're inquiring or just hanging out with us. Jesus loves you, and he knows you, he made you, he's expecting you with arms open wide. That's the most important thing for you to know about today. If you don't hear anything else, please hear that. We've had an interesting week in the context of how people are led, haven't we? So on Thursday we had the local council elections, certainly where in Leeds we did. I'm pretty neutral. I try to be neutral on politics, but I'm not on that. I think everybody should vote. I hope you were able to vote, and I think I want to, just in case they happen to be watching online, I want to say thank you to all the people who stood and congratulations to the one who got elected, and we pray for you, we pray for your work, thank you for the time you give to serve Leeds and our community. So we voted those leaders in, and then on yesterday we had a coronation, and where we anointed a leader. What an interesting thing it was to watch and to participate in. And again, we pray for Charles and Camilla. We're instructed in Scripture to pray for our leaders, and we pray for them too. Such a responsibility in what they say and present. We pray for them. And we've been looking through Acts, and that's our sort of our text for the next few weeks. And interestingly, in Acts, there's quite a lot of setting up leadership. And it's not done through voting, and it's not done through anointing. So I want to have a quick look at that today. And as part of introducing you, well, reintroducing most of you to our staff, pastoral staff team, and understanding a little bit about what they do and why they do it, I just want to read to you, first of all, from Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas have been wandering around what is now Turkey, and what their pattern of mission work, we call it now, at that time, they would just wander into a town, and they would tell people about Jesus, they would cause a riot, a few people would become Christians, and then they'd move on to the next town. As some bishop said, you know, when Paul rolled into town, there was a riot. When I come to town, people offer me a cup of tea. But so in this bit, I just want to read very quickly. So Paul and Barnabas have been doing that, and they've been in a big circle, and they've come back, and they're revisiting some of those communities they set up in that interesting way. Acts chapter 14. Verses 21 to 23. They, that's Paul and Barnabas, preached the gospel in that city, that's Derbe, and they won a large number of disciples. And then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships, he said. And then Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. And with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Appointed elders for each church. We've made some staff changes over, pastoral staff changes in recent months, and I wanted to bring you up to date with what they are, but use it as an opportunity to talk about how we lead in the vineyard. And one of the sayings we have is that living things grow and growing things change. Our church is a living thing, and it's growing and changing. And this is one of the changes we're dealing with at the moment, amongst obviously many others. What is a church? A church is a community of people. It's you can go to a blank screen now. It's a community of people called out of the world and into a new family. Eliza described that beautifully earlier on. This new family, sometimes we talk about it as it's called the body of Christ, which is a metaphor for how we live together. It's a sort of organic, relational, human, error-strewn, imperfect, but gracious and merciful, forgiving. It's a healing community. It's a restoring community. It's a community when you settle in there, you find you get given a purpose for life. It's a hope-filling community. But any body like that needs a skeleton. And we need to get this in the right order. But as the organism grows, we want to put structure in place and a skeleton to hold it together. It's the horse, but then we do have a cart afterwards. We don't do it the other way around. And so in Acts 14, in that verse, it talked about Paul and Barnabas appointing elders to lead and provide some structure to the life of the local church when they came back to visit it. They saw the church growing and something happening, and they identified key leaders and they put them in place as elders. That elder word is a little bit of a distraction. It's transmogrified over the centuries into all sorts of other things. We talk about priests and vicars and ministers and canons and rectors and bishops and deacons and deans, all sorts of other words, as well as elder. What it means, what Luke meant when he wrote this, was it's basically an official of the organization. It's an officer. It's somebody who is there to lead and to provide organization. We give it all sorts of other meanings, but that's what was going on there. And the way we translate that in the vineyard is into two. It's only words, and it's not like sort of concrete, but it's just helpful to organize things. So we have what we call ministers, who do the ministry of the church. Now, who are the ministers at Leeds Vineyard?
We are.
Excellent. Let's just do that once more. Who are the ministers at Leeds Vineyard?
We are.
Yeah, so everybody gets to play. It's one of our things. We are all ministers. And what does that mean? What's the ministry of the church that we do? We serve one another. We'll come back to that. We pray for one another. We care for one another. We disciple one another. Together we evangelize and share our faith and about Jesus. Together we heal the sick and we cast out demons. Who does the ministry of the church around here? Okay, that's really important. That's who the ministers are. And the other word that we use is pastors in this church. And pastors are our label for the paid or actually unpaid appointed people to provide some skeleton to the body, to support the ministry that everybody else is doing, okay? To equip the people. Adrian, would you come and read to us? I've asked Adrian to read from Ephesians. So this is in one of those churches that I talked about where Luke has been describing how Paul and Barnabas wander around causing havoc and then going back to check on the churches. He writes to one of the churches, one of the most significant churches, Ephesus, and he instructs them about how to do church and explains how we support and equip the people, equip one another. It's ancient literature, so you might not get all the references and everything, that's fine. Just hear the general message that's coming over. And I'll introduce that in the same way that in the coronation, they handed that ancient King James Bible to the king, and they said, I love the words, these are the lively oracles of God, Adrian.
So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
This is God's word to us, his lively oracles. It's absolutely right and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for reading, Adrian. Is this mic okay? It sounded... So, very quickly, before I introduce you to the pastoral staff team, some characteristics, just some of the characteristics, too, of in leadership, in pastoral leadership, that we think is really important in leadership generally. The first is one that was, I don't want to talk about a lot, but I just wanted to refer to it because it came up in the coronation, when that young Samuel Strachan, that 14-year-old boy, welcomed, on behalf of the King of Kings. And King Charles' response was, "I come not to be served, but to serve." Wonderful, wonderful bit of scripture to pick out and put before 500 billion people. I mean, it's just wonderful. That's a model of leadership that we hold in high value here in the Vineyard, servant leadership. Another sermon, another day. Second characteristic is equipping leadership, which is what that passage refers to that Adrian just read for us. So, I want to talk about equipping. We have made some changes to the pastoral staff team roles, and I want to, in talking with them, I'm going to get them all up here in a minute. I want to honour the work they've done in different roles over months and years in the past, especially through the pandemic, which was extremely demanding. I want you to understand something about the work that they will do in the future and their job descriptions going forward. And I'm trying to clarify some language around this. Pastors, ministers, supporting and equipping, servant leadership. We do have other people on the staff team who don't carry that tag of pastoral staff, although they do inevitably pastoral work. The three of them are on there, so that's Sue and Jamie and Hannah. You'll have met Hannah on the way in, and Sue, and Jamie's, I think, with the kids. Where is she? She's in kids. Hannah's gone bright red. Well, it's your picture on the website, Hannah. Sorry, you can take it off now. All right, take that off. I'm getting the stare from the back row. But I want to recognise the calling of the pastor staff. They they're called into this by virtue of having this role. They are, have availability which others don't have, and at some level they all have expertise in particular aspects which are really wonderful to equip the people. Okay, not to do the work of the ministry, but to equip them. Would you want to come up, guys? I'll have three of you on that side and two of you on this side, and see if this mic works. Yes, how about a... you got that mic, I think. That mic. Okay, so I just we haven't, there's a lot of them, and we haven't got very long, so they get little excerpts. I'm going to ask some questions and then stop them mid-flow, probably. So I've got three questions for them. The first question I want them each to answer, and we'll start with Helen. Helen's over there. Hi, Helen. Thanks for leading worship. So the question I've asked them is, where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work? Looking back over the last year, over the last couple of years, last month, where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work in your work? I don't want you to describe everything you've done. Just pick out something.
Okay. So one of the areas I oversee is students and young adults. And one of the beautiful things that I've seen the Lord do is just build community over the last couple of years, especially since COVID and everything was just sort of decimated. And there was a couple of the young adults that were just looking around church going, oh, we really, really want this age group to grow. And they started praying and they came to me and were like, what can we do? So it's been really fun dreaming and praying with them, building a student and young adult team and just seeing God bring more and more people into the community. So that's been awesome. And just a joy to watch what the Lord's been doing, really.
You're on.
Excellent. Yes, I've been with working with the technology teams and also the Vineyard Kids teams. Obviously, over the pandemic, we became experts very quickly with live streaming online from home. And then we brought that into Headley Methodist. And so it's been great to, we love it when people can join us here, but it's amazing to include those that can't join us, whether that's for health reasons or they're away visiting or many other different reasons on a Sunday. But it's been great to include those of you that watch online regularly, and we see you and we know you. Vineyard Kids has been awesome. Again, in a time of isolation and loneliness for so many of us, we've come back, and in the Vineyard Kids groups, they've established a really friendly and welcoming space that has led to us the children really owning their groups as their space. And I think that's really meant that they've got a confidence to come and encounter Jesus for their space. But it's great that they've got their space, but we've also been kind of embracing what it means to gather all together with our all-age worship on a week three, which has been tons of fun, where we embrace all of us together, all ages, the whole body of the church, as David was talking about. And we're still learning how to do that really well, but that's been awesome to see the Holy Spirit working in that.
Great. Sally, where have you seen the Holy Spirit at work?
I just love seeing when God is speaking to leaders about something new, like leading a small group. And I've just had the joy of watching leaders be brave. I love that. You know, when God's stirring somebody and they come and they say, I think God might be speaking to me about a group. And I've seen them step into it, and I've seen them recruit leaders to join them, and I've seen them plant out groups. I mean, that's over the whole time I've been doing small groups, but it's just a joy, and just a joy to see God at work. And then pastorally, just in lockdown, we had two people that were like on the verge of taking their own lives, and just to see our church family come around them with medical professionals to literally pull them from the edge and see them thriving now. They're thriving now. Just an absolute joy to see the care and the love that our church family give to the people in it.
Musical chairs. I've had the privilege in my role of seeing, just walking alongside people through some of the highs and lows of life. From the highs of people having their finances completely transformed by new jobs, unexpectedly giving one-off gifts to the church. I sometimes have the delight of seeing something into the bank account unexpected and just celebrating and praising God for generosity being released. To the lows I've seen of people struggling in a situation of domestic abuse, people battling anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and I've seen in all of those situations prayer just come in and transform people's lives. I've seen people step into freedom, people with new hope, and people with peace, regardless of their circumstances. And to those who've let me walk alongside you, thank you. It has been a privilege. Thank you for trusting me enough to let me do that.
So one of the things that I've just really felt the Holy Spirit was working in this last season was with the young people. We came out of lockdown. They were obviously really affected in mental health, lots of things, disconnection from the church and from each other. And I just saw God just raise up a youth team around me to help do the work, do the stuff of getting a Friday night youth thing going on, also young people engaging with mentoring and pods, which is like places of discipleship, two or three young people meeting with an adult and discussing their faith. And we've just seen them growing in their faith and connection with one another and with the church, but incredibly, like, doing the stuff, you know, somebody gets injured, a young person just prays for them and they get healed without a leader present, and it's just amazing what God's doing amongst our young people, and we just long to see more. We asked them to serve. Would they serve and to create a cafe once a month? And they all came forward saying yes. So, you know, isn't that great that God's working in our young people?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's this stuff happening, and these guys are testifying to that. So, next question I wanted to ask them is, they've all got different... they're all sort of bubbly, making things happen type people. What drives them? What's God's calling on their life that gets, and how will that be expressed in their work? So, Helen.
I wrote it down because otherwise I could just talk a lot. It's hard to keep looking. I mean, mainly I'm passionate about creating spaces for people to encounter Jesus. Whether that's in a bigger gathering like this, leading worship, or in small groups, or I'm a spiritual director now, so whether it's just one-on-one in places like that. So that kind of drives everything I do. That's my end goal, and it was when I was helping to reorganize Sundays. It's just creating a space where people can encounter Jesus. So that's probably, I'll stop there. I could keep going.
And so as you got from that, Helen handed over Sunday gathering, this part, to Alex. Where are you going to get expression for your calling?
Yeah, absolutely. Sundays are amazing, and I'm really passionate about creating and facilitating the kind of environments where we can love one another and worship God. I love doing that. And Sundays is where we come together and do that. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, Sundays are already great, and we want to make them even better. I'll be coordinating with the teams that make our Sunday gatherings happen. I don't know if you know this, but there's at least 25 people every Sunday serving to make this gathering happen in here and out with the children. That's over 100 people every month to do that. So I'll be working with them to do that. And I'm particularly looking forward to really investing in a culture of welcoming new people. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've had lots of new people join us over the last couple of weeks and months, which is amazing. And we just want to welcome them and be really friendly and integrate them into our church family. So, yeah.
Thank you. And another change was Alex handing over Vineyard Kids to Sally.
I just love people. I don't mind whether they're naught or 99. So I get the joy of just loving on our littlest people now and teaching them about Jesus and leading just a fantastic team. There's 34 people that serve in Vineyard Kids, and they're just all great. So I get to do more sort of equipping and releasing and spotting gifts and encouraging them into that, which I love. And I'm also overseeing prayer. I love prayer. I'm a prayer. So I'm excited to see what God does with that too.
And going out, Headingley.
And I'm going out and about into Headingley. I'm just longing to share Jesus all the time. So I'm hoping to be doing that in schools and nurseries and amongst the community of little people in Headingley.
Excellent. And then Sally took small groups and carefully handed them over to Anne.
Yes. One of the things I really love to do is connect people up with others who share similar passions. So there's a few ways in which I've been doing this and will continue to do this. With my volunteer hat on at the pantry that we've started, just linking up people who need food with a community where they can find food in a safe place. Within small groups, just finding places where people can experience vibrant community and learn how to do family together in a church setting. And then with my governance work, just building an infrastructure so that this is a safe place for everyone who comes through our doors, that we do things really well and we honour best practice and going above and beyond.
Over to Liz.
I didn't get given any new roles. I'm just in the ones I always did. But, thing that I'm really passionate about is just making Jesus known to people who don't know him and extending the kingdom through building kingdom families and communities. And so you'll have seen that through the lantern, which we've got 10 people from Leeds Vineyard in partnership with Cornerstone serving the lantern, doing meals and a service for people with complex needs or found themselves isolated from society. And we do that each week, and it's a growing team. We love it. And then the Vineyard House, we started doing some community things in there. We did an Easter community craft thing. Families came to that and were saying, why don't you do more of this stuff? We'd love to come. We're always looking for things. So making Jesus known in the community of Headingley and through Vineyard House. We've got counselling service starting in Vineyard House as well, which I'm really looking forward to, that coming and building a community of people who can recover and heal from wounds from the past and current. So there's just so many different things. I could talk for a good hour and a half on this, so I'm not
really
going to. Yeah. Very passionate about building families and communities with Jesus.
Come back to you next. So is that good? Isn't that good? You've got passionate pastors. That alliterates. We can work with that. So the final question I wanted to ask them was, they're great, but they're not super people. They are normal human beings, and they have things they need prayer for. So I asked them, what do we need to pray for you about? Where are the gaps? Where do you need help? Where's things a bit fragile? So, Liz.
Yeah. So for me, it's always resource, more volunteers, more people coming to help, but also just favour in the community. We've got 3 looked after children coming to DTI this year, and Joss and I are looking at how do we get more looked after children. I'm in touch with secondary schools in this area. We would just love to build more and serve the community even more effectively. So really pray for me to have favour with the community, ongoing favour. I've had a lot already, but I really want that sustained and more. So that'd be great.
Sally.
I have strengths and I have weaknesses, so I need a team around me that can fill my gaps. I need prayer for, I'd love to see more men. There's 9 men in Vineyard Kids out of the 34, and our boys need male role models, so I'd love to see more men serving in Vineyard Kids. And I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed because there's a lot to take in at the moment, so I'd love prayer for peace and God's vision for Vineyard Kids.
Wisdom, always wisdom, but apart from that, we just need resources for mending PA and things like that, so it's just prayer for knowing how to use our budget well, and God would highlight the leaders around me that he's calling to help serve in the students and young adults and in worship, that he would connect me with them.
So, Alex.
For me, I really love a fresh wave of kind of creativity in my head on an openness to new ideas of how we can gather together really, really well. Not just always the way that we've done it before, but being open to the new thing that the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. So creativity of ideas and structures would be my prayer request.
Thanks. Well, as I look at small groups, I I feel really led to look at gaps in our accessibility of our different groups. I really believe that small groups can be life-changing places for people, but that it can be really difficult. I recognise it's not an easy thing to do to open up to a group. And so just prayer as I look for, and wisdom as I look at things like days of the week, but then also things like our different personalities, neurodiversity, disability, cost of getting places, fear of going out at night. There's a whole range of things. Small groups aren't an easy place for everybody. So just prayer and wisdom as I look at that, to do that sensitively, to listen well, and to hear what God is saying, so that there really truly could be a place for everybody to find community.
Great. Isn't that good? So they're giving you a little bit, I mean, to pray for, and in a moment I'm going to invite you to come and pray for them. And you may have stuff that you want to give, speak over them. If you do prophesy over them or give them a specific word, please email them with it afterwards, because they won't remember it on the spot. In that coronation moment, if you're watching on ITV, the commentator got it the wrong way round. He said King Charles came not to serve but to be served. Wrong. And it's important here that these guys are here to serve. That's a key characteristic. We do the ministry that I talked about at the beginning through each other. And the small groups is sort of the primary front line of that. That's where you'll get your looked after pastoral care. That's where you'll be discipled through those growth groups, and also through the ministry team. So if you serve on one of the teams, in the process of, you know, serving on a kids team or on a welcome team or whatever, there's a level of mutual care and discipleship that goes on around there. So as I keep saying, and I keep saying to these guys, stop doing the ministry. I don't mean that, because they need to do it as well, but stop doing it for the people. Our job is as the elders, as the pastoral staff, is to equip the people to do the ministry. And one extra special prayer request is that they have to deal with me. So you might need to add that into your intercession. So let's just remind you what Paul and Barnabas did. It says that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting. Appointed elders for each church with prayer and fasting. So please fast for these people and pray for them now. So, Helen, by the keyboard, that's so appropriate. Sally, about a fifth of the way in. Liz, you'll be in the middle here. I'll look after the mic. Anne, and then Alex around the corner. In fact, both Anne and Alex around the corner. Okay, we'd like to stand. If you're somebody who considers Leeds Vineyard your home, these are your pastors. I'd like you to come forward now and pray for them. Choose the one you like the most and go and pray for them. Can't I say that? All right. I can't say that. So pray for all of them. Take turns, okay? We've got 10 minutes, so go for all of them. And we're going to say goodbye to the guys on online. Thanks for watching. Would you pray for them as well in your own time?